The sermon today is our gospel reading for today from Matthew chapter 17. It is on the transfiguration of Jesus. And as always, I would invite you to open your Bibles. If you're using the Pew Bible, you would find that on page 822. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father, if only we could see Jesus better, if only we could know more clearly, that the fog would clear from our hearts. Lord, we pray that through our worship and this message today, that you would indeed open our eyes to see him in all of his glory and all of his love. We pray in his name, amen. Dear Christian friends, a few years ago, I heard Reverend Ken Klaus speaking about people of different faiths and how they were content with their God. And then he said, "You may like your God well enough until you meet the real Jesus." And I was rather struck by that statement because there are a lot of people who do not know Jesus. And I'm convinced that if they could see Jesus the way that he truly is, they would put their faith in him. And there's a lot of people who think that they know Jesus but really don't. They may call themselves Christians, but don't understand what the church teaches, what the true faith is, or perhaps unwilling to believe it. Or there are also people who make Jesus into some sort of God in their own minds. And whatever the case is, you know, there's probably a lot of people here today which wouldn't put yourself in any of those categories that I just mentioned. But we shouldn't get too overconfident, because we could look at the disciples in our reading for today, and they were with Jesus a lot, but it seemed like they had a real struggle to get it. They were with him for 3 years, and it seems like they never really understood what Jesus was all about. And are we all that much better? The bottom line is that Jesus wants us to know him better. And that that is why he came to this earth, and that is the point of this Bible reading for today, because when Jesus was on the mountain, he was being revealed for who he truly is. He was being revealed to his disciples and to all of us. Now, to everyone who would have seen Jesus as he was walking on the earth, they would have seen just a man. That's Mary's son. That's the carpenter's son. And yet on the mountain, Jesus shows himself for who he truly is, that he is God, the second person of the Trinity, who holds all power in heaven and on earth in his hands. And so this biblical account of Jesus being transfigured helps us to know the real Jesus. And in doing so, it helps us to understand ourselves as well. Well, let's get to know Jesus through his transfiguration. Look at in your Bibles, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light." And so this story is also repeated in Mark and Luke with essentially the same details, that Jesus takes those inner circle of disciples with him to that high mountain. We don't know which one it is. Some people think that it may have been Mount Tabor. That's an ancient tradition, but we don't really know. But the action really starts in verse 2, "And Jesus was transfigured before them." Okay. Raise your hand if you use the word transfigured in your conversations this past week. Jake, no? Still no? Okay, I mean, it's at the seminary. You think maybe that would have come up. It was. Okay. However, this word might be a little bit more familiar to you than you think, because in the original language where you see transfigured, it is actually the word metamorphosis. Now, there is a word that you know, right? We all learned metamorphosis in grade school, maybe second grade, maybe fourth grade, but we know that that is the word that describes how that ugly caterpillar becomes that beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis, transfiguration, it literally means to change the body. Jesus was transfigured, that his face shone like the sun, his body was changed to convey his true nature as God. And interestingly enough, even his clothes were transfigured. They became white as light, transformed also. And so the whiteness of Jesus' face and clothes tell us something about him, about this real Jesus. White is a symbol of holiness. Jesus indeed was holy. He was without sin. Jesus had lived on the earth for 33 years and still without sin. His association with other humans, the temptations of the devil and the enticements of the world, none of them caused Jesus to sin or to soil himself in any way. And so then verse 5 adds to the glory of this moment that the voice of the Father spoke from heaven. It says, and he was still speaking when suddenly, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Is this the Jesus you were expecting to meet? Now, a lot of you are probably saying, yes, this is the Jesus I've always known. I've known about Jesus for a long time. Nothing new here. But do you live your life in a way that can meet this holy, transfigured Jesus who is God? He is holy and mighty. And this God, Jesus, really doesn't have to put up with any of your nonsense. Think of it this way. Have you ever heard a lion roar? Put that on your bucket list if you haven't yet. Many years ago, I was at a zoo in Chicago, and there was a lion on the other side of the glass. He let out a great big roar, and it was amazing because it felt like everything was vibrating, even down into your very body. So strong and majestic was that animal. It was pretty amazing. Now, suppose you fell into the lion's pen. What do you do? Now, I hope you don't go in there and say, "Here, kitty, kitty." That wouldn't be wise at all. You should be doing your level best to get out of there as soon as you can. That lion can have you for lunch. And if you can't get out of that cage, you'd certainly try to hide. And so it is in the transfiguration of Jesus, that we see that he is God, and that our relationship isn't defined as equals or semi-equals or anything like that. It is God and his creature. And as God, he calls the shots. There were some sociologists a few years back who set about on this task to try and figure out how Americans, especially younger ones, view God today. And their summary was that most people view God today something like a combination of a genie or cosmic therapist. You know, that they see God as someone who can take care of their problems when they arise. But when there's no problem, then this genie should just stay in the lamp until he's ready to be called upon. And then, you know, when you have a problem, then you would rub the lamp and the genie would come out. Or if you had some sort of confusion or disappointment in your life, that God would be the sort of therapist and that his purpose would be to make you feel better about yourself. This isn't the real Jesus. Jesus is not a genie that we put in a lamp to respond to our beck and call. That has the relationship all wrong. Rather, he is God. And we don't tell him what to do, but rather we obey him. So this tendency on our part really kind of shows who we are. That every one of us has a selfish nature within ourselves that we want to please ourselves. And even the disciples on the mountain that day, they didn't get it right. Okay, so then Peter, he's in this sleepy stupor. In verse 3, he makes this suggestion, "Lord, it's good that we are here, and if you wish, I will build tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Well, of course, leave it to Peter. He's always the one who speaks first and then thinks about it later. And he certainly got it all wrong that day. to build tents or booths was to set up shrines for worship. But only Jesus is the one to be worshipped. So our text for today makes it quite clear that Peter was in the wrong. He was very wrong. In fact, the Father from heaven interrupted him in verse 5. He said, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the reaction of the disciples was that they were terrified. They fell on their faces in view of the holiness of God. And when the holiness and glory of Jesus was shown to the disciples, it illumined, it showed, it pointed out their sin and their weakness, because sin cannot abide in the presence and the holiness of God. What about us? What about you? What if we were transfigured just like Jesus, so that what is on the inside could be seen on the outside? And all of our dark secrets and all the skeletons in our closet and all the sinful dreams were revealed. If that happened, we would be shown to be the blackest of sinners. And so, like the disciples, Peter, James, and John, we bow down in fear before a holy and majestic God. We know that we're not able to get up before Him, because the glory of Christ shows us who we are on the inside. We see Jesus in His glory in the Transfiguration, but we also see His love. Jesus is the lion that when He roars, it shakes us up on the inside. But Jesus is also described as the Lamb. Jesus did not sin. He never sinned. And so He was able to remain that spotless Lamb who could be the sacrifice for the sins of the world, yours and mine. And so the transfiguration of Jesus renews our hopes. Yes, He is holy so that He can be God, but He can also be the Savior, both the Lion and the Lamb. At the beginning of the message, I quoted Ken Klaus, who said, you may like your God well enough until you meet the real Jesus. Friends, meet the real Jesus, the Jesus recounted in the Scripture. If people were sick, He healed them. If they were confused, He taught them. If He were hungry, He fed them. If people were dead, He raised them. This Jesus holds all the power in the universe, and yet He looks down on all of us in love, and He forgives. Those are the words that so often fell from the lips of Jesus. He said, my sins are forgiven you. He said, which is easier to say, get up and walk, or that your sins are forgiven? And even from the cross, in His agony, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. So aren't you glad that the King of kings and the Lord of lords is also loving and kind? And this real Jesus speaks to you words of forgiveness and peace. And when Jesus returned to His human appearance, He reached out His hands to His disciples and He said, get up, don't be afraid. This would be the last that we would see Jesus in His glory while He was walking on the earth till after His resurrection. He was about to go down into Jerusalem, and there He was going to be mocked and beaten. There He was going to go through the suffering and death of the cross. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It begins the season of Lent, a penitential season when we look at ourselves with honesty and see our sin, but yet all the more we see all that Jesus would do in His suffering, in His death, to bring us salvation, that we could be redeemed. He wanted to free us from our sins, and so He died on the cross. His love was so great that the Creator died for His lowliest creatures, so that there could be one more transfiguration. And that transfiguration is that you and me could be changed also from sin to holiness. That on the last day we also would shine with glory, freed and forgiven from all of our sins, that when our Father in heaven would look down upon us, He would no longer see us tainted with sin and spoiled, but rather He would see a brand new creature, redeemed, a child of God, made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have any other Jesus than this real Jesus, you may like your God well enough until you get to know the real Jesus. In His name, amen.